Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Erepto. You don't know what that means. That's Hebrew for good evening. I looked at my watch to see what time and see was it still morning. And it's not morning anymore. You know, one point I was going to make. I don't think there's any other church in the city that have as much word as we do. There are Sunday school lessons that that a lot of folks don't even come to hear. And then they say they need more. That's a paradox. Doesn't make sense. The only resource that we have for growth is the word of Yahweh. And even it is written that the Holy Ghost will bring the word to your remembrance. The Apostle Shaul would say, body exercise profited little. You know, I've been to places where they shouted all day. Then they would say, we don't need the word now because God just came by. And I'm sitting there thinking God couldn't have been here because I haven't heard any word. And since it is written in the beginning was the word and the word was in God. Now, I'm not going to quote it like you have read it because how you have read it is wrong. The word wasn't with God. The word was in God. In the beginning was the word and the word was in God. The same was in the beginning in God. All things was made by him, that is the word. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light. Who's that? The word. And that light was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness. And the darkness could not hold it down. There was a man sent from Yahweh whose name was Johanan. He was not that light. But he came to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was in the world. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to be birthed into the lineage of the sons and daughters of Yahweh. I read that to emphasize the word. It's all about what? The word is not about you. It's not about me. It's about the word. If you were to, let me kind of regress a little bit. because I'm going to talk today about the subject for life or death. It's my decision, my commitment. Let me say that again. For life or death. It is my decision, my commitment. Do you know what that means? How many of you think you know what that means? In order to achieve anything in life, you got to make a decision and make a commitment. You have to give all to something. And most people in this day don't like to make decisions. They don't like to make commitments. They like to leave their options open. And those people you will pass on the highways of life, standing by the way with a cup in their hand, begging and wondering why they couldn't get a leg up, and probably blaming somebody. But if you're going to do anything in the natural life, let's not talk right now about the spiritual life, you got to make a commitment to something. You got to make a commitment to somebody. You got to make a commitment to something. And if you don't, you will never achieve anything. We live in a world where it's all about us now. See, when you're in a country like we live in today, where it's division and derision is everywhere, the gospel suffers also. Because the people of Yaba get caught up in that emotional situation that's going on in the country. And they can't focus on what is important. So my subject is talking about making a life or death decision and commitment. If I die, I die. If I live, I live. But I have made my commitment. You know, there were a lot of times we don't like to make commitments to others. But if you don't know how to make a commitment to somebody, you will never know how to be committed to God. There were three men committed to David. And they were so committed to David, folks would call them brown noses. Y'all, you know what I'm trying to say? You brown nosing the pastor because you committed to him. David was in a siege with the Philistines and had been in there for days. And he began to say, "Ooh, I wish I could have had some water from the gates of Bethlehem." These three men fought their way through the Philistines to the well there at the gate, drew water, and brought it back to him because they were committed to him. Are y'all getting it? You're going to have to make a commitment to somebody. If you don't, you'll never make a commitment to God. So today we are going to talk about life or death. If I die, I die. If I live, I live. But I've made my commitment. And whatever comes or goes, I will keep that commitment that I have made. You know, I spent many years in the military. 11 and a half years to be precise. And there you had to be committed to the military, be committed to the goals of the military. You had to be committed to the sergeant and the captain and the mayor and the major, even though you didn't like them. But you were committed to support them and to be there for them and to do what they asked you to do. And no matter how you felt about it, you were committed to carry out your duties. So when I came out of the military after 11 and a half years, and finally I didn't find God, but God found me. You know, somebody say, I found God. No, God was never lost. You were the one that was lost. So I didn't find God. God found me. And it wasn't difficult for me to make a commitment. I knew how to make commitments. And so I made my commitment to him and to the truth years ago. If I live, I live. If I die, I die. But I've made my commitment. And so let's kind of explore that subject today. Because like I say, in a country or a world where there's much upheaval, there's much division, there's a lot of confusion, the faith seems to suffer. So I want us to talk in 1 Melahim. Now you all who know, tell them what 1 Melahim is. That's 1 Kings. Actually, it's Melahim. But the English says 1 Kings, and that's okay. I'm not going to argue with them over that. But here, there's a situation in the nation of Israel. Ahab had married a girl named Jezebel. We call her Jezebel, but her name was Jezebel. And she was a priest in the religion of Baal, B-A-A-L, Baal. And she had gotten Ahab to build temples to Baal. And so there was a great deal of confusion. And so what the people, in order to serve both Baal and Yahweh, they came up with this idea that it don't make no difference. The name don't make no difference. If it's Baal, if it's Yahweh. And so they were going to the service of Baal and then going to the service of Yahweh. And they thought everything was hunky-dory. They failed to realize God don't play no games. He's a God of truth. And that's our theme for the month, Emet, which is Hebrew, Emet, which means truth. He's a God of truth. When you serve a God of truth, there's not two ways to do things. When you serve a God of truth, there's only one way, and that's the true way. And there are no other options involved in serving him. But they thought everything was okay. They thought, you know, they were honoring Yahweh and honoring Baal, and everything was great. And so Eliyahu, the prophet, had to deal with this matter. You call him Elijah. And sometimes people wonder why you want to try to use the Hebrew. I use the Hebrew because I want you to know what the truth is. If I only use Elijah, you would always think that was his name. But if I tell you his name was Eliyahu, then you know, at least you know his real name. So Eliyahu had to deal with the situation, or God told him to deal with the situation. And so he went up on the little hill there, and we'll start from there, from 1 Melahim, the 18th chapter, and the 21st verse. And Eliyahu came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? This word halt is the Hebrew word pasah, which is the word used in the Bible for Passover. Passover simply means leaping about. You say, oh my, you lost me. Well, when the death angel was released there in Mizraim, or you call Egypt, Yahweh had told his people to put blood on the flap of your tent. And we stay on the doorposts of your houses, but they weren't building no houses like out here. On the flap of your tent, the one you bend back, you put the blood on that and put it on the other side. And when the death angel comes by, he will leap over you. Pasah. So, Eliyahu said, how long will you all keep leaping back and forth? Do you think that Yahweh is pleased when you leap over on Baal and then leap back on him? And then he gave them the only option available for them. He said, if Yahweh be God, follow him. Let me say it again. If Yahweh be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, follow him. He said, I'm not trying to make you do nothing. I'm not trying to force nothing upon you. All I'm requiring of you is that you make a decision. If Yahweh be God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. That's sad. Isn't that sad? They wanted to still serve Baal and Yahweh. So when he asked them, if Yahweh be God, follow him, if Baal be God, follow him, they didn't say nothing. And when people don't say nothing, you know they haven't made no decision. Mm-hmm. I heard what you said. Uh-huh. Yes, 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 yes. What he was saying to them, you got to make a decision. Huh? You got to make a commitment to God, or you make it to something else. But God is not going to be happy with you leaping about. Because listen to what Yeshua said. Luke 16. And you say, why are you preaching this? Because We're living in an age where people tend to not understand. They live in, what can I call it? They live in internet land. Well, all the, you know, everything you can think about is in what? Internet land. And in internet land, you don't have to make a decision. You just leap about. I was so surprised when I found out that in internet land, all you have to do is just go to the internet and you can find you a woman right quick for a date. I didn't know that. I said to my son, I'm glad it wasn't around when I was young, because I'd been all over the place. See, internet land, you don't have to make a commitment. You just sit there and they tap you back, and boom, y'all on a date. And because you did it through internet land, you don't have to make a commitment to the person. Y'all just got hooked up in internet land. And in internet land, there's no locks. You hook up and then hook out. But their mind tend to be to be rational thinkers is not in the cards. Now here's what Yeshua said. Luke the 16th chapter, the 10th verse. Now y'all can just stay with me here. I'm not going to get in a hurry because I want you to understand what I'm trying to convey to you. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much. If you won't make a decision and a commitment to small things, you'll never make a decision and a commitment to large things. Do you wonder why there are so many divorces? Because people have not made a life or death commitment. You get it? When I married, I made a life or death commitment to my wife. Whatever happens, life or death, I'm committed to you. And even when my wife got sick and nothing we could do, I was still committed to her because I made a life or death commitment. Are you understanding where I'm coming from? I knew how to make a life or death commitment. I knew how to make commitments. And so until the day she went on, I was committed to her. You understanding me? Yeshua said, you'll never make a commitment in big things if you can't make a commitment in small things. He that is faithful over a little is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. My wife never had to worry about where I was or who I was with. Are you understanding me? Because a commitment was made. 11th verse. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon in the world, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches. I was committed to my job in the world. Nobody has to make me go to work on time. I was at work half hour at least before time. Other people running in, trying to hit the clock before the minute struck. But when you're committed, you're not operating on the edges. You make sure that you are where you're supposed to be before you're supposed to be there. And if you can't do it in the world, how are you going to do it in God?
Well, you know, I don't have to give my job, but I love the Lord.
No, no, no. You'll treat God the same way. And the way I know, I've been pastoring for nearly 50 years. And I've seen you sneak in just before service or doing service. Service is going on, and here you come.
Oh, Got a late start.
If you were committed, you'd have made sure you're on time. I'm here at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. On the dot. I roll up. Nobody have to worry about whether I'm going to be on time or not. Because I'm committed. Now listen to this. If you can't be committed to things in the world, who's going to give you some riches to be committed to? We got people think they're going to get rich sitting on the dock of the bay. If you want some money, you got to work, man. You got to work. You got to make a commitment. You got to start doing something. Every one of you need an education. Every one of you. I don't care what you want to do in life, you need an education. What's the sense in making a lot of money and you don't know how to subtract? Of course, that's obvious. Everybody knows how to subtract and multiply. You know what I'm trying to say. But an education broadens your understanding of things. I spent 11 and a half years in the military, and when I got out, I went back to college. And I was committed to it. I had wife and children and had my church that I went through faithfully, but I found a way to go to college. It's all about making the commitment. 12th verse, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, let me read that again. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? You have to be faithful to things of others. I've served in different churches, but everywhere I served, I was faithful to the man who was the pastor. And never would I walk away from a church or go to somebody else's church without the pastor giving me permission to do so. Wait, you say, nobody, I ain't no slave to nobody. No, You know, you're not no slave. You know how to make a commitment. How is it that this man is looking for me and I'm over there? And they tell him, oh, we had so-and-so. It's what? You say, well, Pastor, you've never left church? Of course I have. I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't left church. But I always left with an understanding that there is no animosity between us. If God told me to go, I went. So you say, well, God told me. God ain't told you nothing, or you haven't practiced nothing. You got to practice something before God can tell you something. 13th verse. No servant can serve two masters. Let me try to help you with that. The human makeup, the human psychology makes it impossible for a human being to serve two masters. I'll give you an example. I have heard people say, I was in love with both of them. You're just lying. You can't love two women the same amount with the same amount of love. I mean, how many of you agree with me? You can't love two women with the same amount of love. Yeah. Yaakov had that. He had two women. And both of them were sisters, Leah and Rachel. But Rachel's sitting over there in her tent, lonely. And he's over there Leah's sitting over her tent, lonely. And he's over there in Rachel's tent every night. But yet he had more children by Leah than he had by Rachel. You figure it out. The only time he went to Leo's tent was for a purpose. But for love, he went to Rachel's tent. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, and this hate does not mean I hate, but it means I love you less. In other words, he will love one less than he loves the other. Or else he will hold to the one. And he will despise. Now this despise doesn't mean I despise you. But it means by his action toward the other one, it seems he's despising that one, whichever one we're talking about. If you're confused, so am I. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible to serve two. You got to make a commitment. And that commitment is a life or death commitment. Look at the book of Job. You will call him what? Job. I'm going to call him by his real name, Job. And you can go to Esther, Nehemiah, Esther, and Job, the 13th chapter. Now, how many of you have read the book of Job? Most of you haven't. How many of you have heard about the book of Job? Most of you haven't. Well, I'm about to give you a little classroom here on Job. Job was a man from the east, in the east. And he was a man who served Yahweh. But there were Satan went to God Because when the sons of God assembled, Satan was there. So Satan was a creation, but he was not Satan then. But Satan was there. And Job was the only man that was really serving God. And so Satan said to God, if you let me at him, I'll make him curse you before your face. And so Yahweh said to Satan, okay, but don't kill him. You are not allowed to kill him. And so Satan began to put these afflictions up on Job. And finally Job broke out in boils all over his body. And his friend, his friends came to him and said, look, why don't you just curse God and die? God is not on your side. Look what God has allowed or what God is doing to you. Just curse him and die. And this is Job's response. Hold your peace. He said to them, hold your peace. Let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. He said, hold your peace. Leave me alone. I don't care what come on me. Let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my hand, and actually it's in my tongue, and put my life in my hand. 15 verse. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I've made a life or death decision. And even if God kills me, I'm going to yet serve him. Now listen to this. This is more important than that. But I will remain mine own way before him. Other words, I will still live righteous before him. I was living righteous. Look what happened to me. His friend said, curse him and die. He said, you might as well be quiet, even though he slay me. Yet shall I trust him. And I'll still live righteous before him. Because I have made a life or death commitment to Yahweh. How much time I got? Don't have much, but I'm gonna go and take a little bit. Y'all don't have night service. Maybe I can just preach until the night, and then y'all can go home. Somebody be tipping out before I'm finished. I know that. I want to talk to us about Shoptim 7, and you call it Judges. Shoptim 7. Let's go there to Shoptim 7. And what I want to talk about here is that you can't, 7:3, I'm going to try the third. God can't use you to further his kingdom if you're not committed. Let me say that again. God can't use you to further his kingdom if you're not committed, if you've not made a life or death commitment to him. Give you a little black background. Gideon, who is really Zerubbabel, God came to him. The Midianite was just mistreating the children of Israel. They would let them grow a crop, and they would camp out, and they'd come and take all their food, take all their crops. And so Yahweh called Gideon, and he says, I'm going to give you some victory over the Midianites. And the Midianites were like the sand of the seashore. There were so many of them. And Gideon jumped up, blew the horn, the shofar, You know, a shofar for battle. You know, how many know what the shofar is? That's that ram's horn. And there was different sounds for different things. So he blew that shofar for battle, and 32,000 Hebrews came. And God said to him, I'm not going to read all that, but God said to him, there's too many. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to say to them, all you are who are fearful and afraid, go home. Twenty-two thousand went home. He is left with 10,000. And God said, you still got too many. See what it is. I can't use you because all of them are not committed. So what I want you to do, I want you to take them down to the water. And I want you to tell them to drink. And all of them that picks the water up in their hand and lap it with their tongue, I want you to put them to the side. Everyone who lays his weapon down and get down on his knees and drink from the river, I want you to tell him, go home. Because you ain't watchful. You done laid your weapon down, you down on your knees. Wound up with 300. 10,000 out of the 32,000. Now 300 out of the 10,000. And God said, now I got some committed people. See, God can't build a church without committed people. He can't get the name out without committed people. He can't build the kingdom without committed people. And he won't even try. You hear what I said? He won't even try. He said, now, we got 300. Now, they'll do what you asked them to do. I want you to tell them to get some lamps. And I want you to tell them to get a horn. And I want you to tell them to surround the Midianites. You only got 300, put them on three sides. 100 on this side, 100 on that side, and 100 on that side. And because they'll do what you ask them to do, we can work this. See, if you got one guy, why you got to break down? Why you got to carry the lamp? Why you got to blow the horn? There ain't enough of us. They only 300. Look at the midnight. God says, you got 300. You got 300 that listen to you. You got 300 that'll work with you. Hallelujah. You got 300 that'll obey what you tell them to do. Hallelujah. So I want you to take them down there and tell them to get the lamp and go on each side. Then when I give the signal, everybody blow the horn. You ain't got somebody saying, why I have to blow it. Why can't he blow it first? And he gave the signal, and everybody blew the horn. And he said, when I give the signal, break the lamp. Pow, they break the lamp. And I want you to say, the sword of Gideon and Yabah. And they all screamed out, the sword of Gideon and Yabah. And the Midianites started killing each other because it was dark. And they began to kill each other. People who are not with you, you might as well let them go. Huh? Because you think they're standing by your side protecting you from this area, and they done run back here. See, David didn't have to worry. He had 30, He had 30 men of valiancy, but he had three of them that stood by his side. And they were willing to die. They were willing to die for him. They had made their decision of life or death for this leader. You can't do nothing if you don't make a decision and a commitment to something or somebody. I'm willing to die. I made a commitment to God and to the truth. And even though it boiled down to when I went into the name of Yeshua, I knew I would lose some people. But I had made my commitment, life or death. Come what go, whatever happened, made the commitment. So I said to him, I have made a decision, and I've committed myself to the name of Yeshua. All of you who want to be with me, come with me. Some went home. Some went home. But some stayed with me. And I was 2 days baptizing, rebaptizing people in the name of Yeshua. 3 whole days. Baptized, not whole day, 3 whole nights, you know what I'm talking about. Baptizing people in the name of Yeshua because I had made commitment. And whatever came, I was willing to suffer the consequences. I want to give you about 5 minutes the heart of the committed. Look at Philippians. See, people who are committed don't always do what they're supposed to do. In other words, they are not mistake-free. They're not mistake-free. I mean, they make mistakes, but they're committed. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't done everything I should do. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high call of Yahweh in Mashiach Yeshua. He says, you know, I haven't always reached the mark. But one thing, I've made a commitment and I'm not going to give up. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to forget the mistakes that I made. I'm not going to dwell on the weaknesses that I show to others. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to forget all about that. And I'm going to look to the future. I'm going to look to the future. Say it with me. I'm going to look to the future. And I'm going to press. I say I'm going to press. And see, this is an athletic term that he's using. He's talking about a race. And if you have seen running, how many of you have seen the 100-yard dash? They run as fast as they can, and when they get to the, just before they get to the line, they press. Trying to hit that line. I press toward the mark. Because I've made mistakes, don't mean I'm going to give up. Huh? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, because I've made mistakes, don't mean I'm going to give up. Hallelujah. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to turn back. What I'm going to do, I'm going to forget the failure because I can't do nothing about the failure. I can't correct it. It's already done. But I'm going to keep on running the race. I'm going to keep on running the race. And I'm going to press. Somebody say press. I'm going to press. Press. Toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Mashiach Yeshua. Let us therefore, 15 verse, as many as be perfect, mature, be thus minded. And if any be any other, if any but minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, Yahweh shall reveal even that to you. In other words, Yahweh has to help you. If you have made up your mind, if you're not ready to run this race, if you have not made a life or death decision, and if you are not forgetting the failures of the past and just keep running the race, because the race is not given to the swift, it's not given to the strong, but those who endure until the end. When the end comes, I'm going to still be pressing. Help us. God help us. God help us. We have this wonderful name. We have been given inside information in the kingdom. And we're still leaping about. Yehoshua, I know you said Yehoshua. I'm going to call him Yehoshua. Yehoshua said, you got to choose today. You see what I said? Yehoshua said, you got to choose today who you're going to serve. Choose today. And if you want to serve the God on the other side of the flood, Jesus, then go to the other side of the flood and serve him. But if you're going to serve Yeshua on this side of the flood, serve him. God help us. I've been running this race nearly 50 years. And I'm almost 83 years old. I ain't tired yet. Not tired yet. Not giving up at all. Yes, I'm not as fast as I used to be. I'm not as swift as I used to be. I can't run as fast as I used to. But I'm still pressing. I'm still pressing. I'm still pressing. We come in the blessed name of Yeshua, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We thank you for trusting us to carry forth your name. We're committed. We have made a life of that decision. Whatever comes, whatever goes, we're committed to Yeshua. Father, if there are people here that is not, you have to help them. Because you can't bless us when we're divided. We have to all be committed to your kingdom, to the kingdom of Yeshua, to reaching the world, proclaiming the name of Yeshua. That is our calling. You are the strength of our lives. Strengthen us with dunamis, isku, that we will carry forth the plan. Father, we thank you in the blessed name of Yeshua. Everybody, keep your head bowed.